following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
When you're ready to save money, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. With our exclusive Way to Save savings account, you can save money automatically. Every time you use your debit card to make a purchase or pay a bill with Wells Fargo Online Bill Pay, $1 is transferred from your Wells Fargo checking account to your Way to Save account. You can also set up recurring daily or monthly transfers to save even more money fast. Call, click, or stop by today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, it's Golic. Stop into Lowe's today for the Lowe's Floor Event and get great values on flooring products for the entire home, like 13 by 13 bay ceramic tiles, now just 57 cents per square foot. And take advantage of the $397 whole house basic installation on any laminate flooring at $2.98 per square foot or more. Plus, find in-stock Stainmaster carpet starting at just $1.04 per square foot. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offer is valid through March 26. See sales associate to schedule an in-home measurement. Additional charges may apply.
Live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, it's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Lock up the young talent. And with Alex Gordon having his breakout year, you got Hosmer, you got Moustakas. Those three guys have got to be locked up for a long-term deal.
You're tuned in to Central Nebraska's favorite sports talk show.
We review everything that's kind of close when they score a touchdown. Well, how do we not review everything that's kind of close when it's not ruled a touchdown? I don't understand. These idiots in the booth are getting paid a lot of money to mess things up.
Pro, college, high school, they cover it all for you.
Of all the people that can win in golf, if you're not in the top five in tennis, you're just absolutely out.
You always find on the hard courts, Australia and the U.S., where the big boys seem to come through. Now, you play a little bit on the grass, or especially the clay, then all of a sudden you have a clay court specialist.
Let's head to the show right now, only on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We have got a lot to cover over the next hour plus. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We're going to be talking MMA. We're going to be talking hunting. We're going to be talking basketball. We're going to be talking football. And anything else that you would like to chime in and add to us on the show today. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox. If you want to send us an email, you can also Facebook us. But if you're sending us an email, Doug and Daddy, spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to talk with some folks from the Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever. Their annual banquet's coming up. We're going to talk RFA2 with Wayne Harriman in just a little bit. Robin Walshit, now you got to you've tied him down, right?
Yes. I don't know what happened. I beat him yesterday afternoon. He will be available around 11:45-ish of the hour.
Robin Walshit, Husker Online, will join us to talk Nebraska basketball. Didn't take long. Tim Miles was on Sports Nightly last night and did say that his, I guess for Nebraska fans, the top assistant and the big recruiter in Ron Coleman will be coming to Nebraska.
You know, and that's big news for the simple fact that three out of the top 10 best projects in Chicago, and I say projects and prospects in Chicago, are from that high school, including Jahlil Okafor, the number two overall rated prospect in the country. So
we'll get Okafor, we'll get a Gow.
I think that's obvious.
Just Gesell will transfer back in even going to Iowa.
We'll get the 2-9 and 12
You'll
in the country.
Connor Baronic on the team. Who else you want?
I think we're good there.
That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, pick up a couple 3-5-foot-10 white kids that can shoot it a little bit, and we're good.
Find Brian Cochran's little brother. Get him
there
in
you
here.
Go.
Corey Cochran, I think it was, that played here. One of those guys. So that's all coming up on the show today, and we will get to all of that in just a little bit. But RFA 2, Daddy, it is RFA week here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Yesterday we talked to T.J. Hepburn. Friday we had Houston Alexander on. We've got many more coming in, including Gilbert Ivel later on in the week. I think maybe you've talked a couple more, but the weigh-ins are Thursday afternoon, and the public, if you want to check it out, it's at 1 o'clock at the Events Center, and then the amateur card starts Friday night at 5. The professional starts at 7 o'clock, and Daddy, I got the official card as official as it can be, sent to me yesterday. And it looks like there are 19 total bouts from amateurs, a couple female bouts to the headliner, the main event, with Houston Alexander and Gilbert Ivel.
And right now, Wayne Harriman, the promoter of these fights. He hails from Las Vegas and found Carney. I find it an interesting place to do business when you're from Las Vegas, but nonetheless, it should be a great event. Wayne.
Well, you know what? It's only fitting that you do your business in Vegas. Vegas should do some of their business here with you.
That's a great point. I think that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, we go there to take our money, so we're going to take some of Wayne's. I think that's the way it's been working. But Wayne, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, thanks for coming in. Everybody seems, I guess, I'm not an MMA guy. Now, let's just start there. Daddy really got on board last time around. I think more people are getting on board. We have friends that are into MMA. I'm hearing way more buzz about RFA 2 than RFA 1, and that's exactly, I'm guessing, what you guys wanted. You wanted to have a good one the first time around and then build off that, and it sounds like we're headed that way.
The first RFA was kind of like a test, something Kurt Brooks, the owner of the arena, wanted to do a show, check it out, see how it went, and the response was phenomenal. We just, the fan base here, the fighter base, it just went really well. Carney was real responsive to it, way more than we even imagined. So we thought, we might have something here. Let's try it again, and put together something a little bigger, a little better the second time around, and it seems to be going well.
Wayne, when you start working on a main event, what are the components, I guess, that go into, for people out there, I mean, to come up with a name like, obviously, Houston Alexander being an Omaha guy and a name that people think will sell some tickets, I guess, from your standpoint, is a good name. How do you come up with, I mean, how do you start dealing with that as far as the main event goes?
Well, you have something in mind. Our fighter, the guy that I needed to find a match for, was Gilbert Ivel, who had won the last time we were here. He had a win, and he's just moved to the 205 weight class. He used to fight heavyweight. And so to find an opponent for him, you know, somebody of his caliber was, you know, that's kind of tricky. And then on top of it, to be able to sell tickets. And then so I just was shopping around for a match for him in Houston Alexander. They're both stand-up fighters. They're both hard hitters. I mean, it's going to be a fireworks event show.
We've got 38. If we've got 19 bouts times two, Daddy, that's 38 fighters coming
carry
in.
Carry the one.
How many different managers, or are all of these folks that are coming in kind of under one blanket? I don't know if manager is the word I want to use here because you're the promoter, but I mean,
yeah.
How many are under one blanket with the RFA?
There's some of the managers involved have multiple fighters, like maybe five or six fighters on the card. So we have probably, there could be like six or seven different managers we deal with just for this event.
Maurice Smith is coming. That's a big name in the RFA world. You've got connections with a lot of people. You know big-time fighters. There's names being thrown around in the community, and people, I think those guys aren't going to be here. And, you know, and Sean Starmer's over here, a man and boy that lives out in Vegas. And everybody, a lot of people know Sean from the area. You know, everybody knows Sean and Chuck Liddell are buddies. Everybody knows that. But the deal branches out further in the MMA. Is it true, Wayne, can you say that you believe that Frank Shamrock, Frank Mir may be in attendance at Friday night?
If they're not, they're going to owe us for a plane ticket.
you know, that... Frank Mir, folks, is getting ready to fight Cain Velasquez at the end of May. I mean, that's in a UFC bout. I mean, he's been the heavyweight champion twice, I believe, maybe three times. Frank Mir is one of the... I mean, when you say Frank Mir, I think that turns heads. When you say Chuck Liddell, I think that Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boy, that turns heads. In Kearney, Nebraska, events like this do not come around.
Why Wayne... we talked about it coming in with Kirk. What worked the first time, and what are you seeing? What have you done to make this even a bigger and better, outside of the people that are coming in, a bigger and better event?
As far as from a promoter standpoint, if you have an arena behind you, I mean, you can't do much better than that. And then obviously that arena has to be somewhere where the mixed martial arts is accepted and you know, people were versed in it. That was my worry the first time around. So after we came here the first time around, I was in shock. I was like, wow, this was accepted very well. People are really well versed in it. A lot of wrestlers from this area, just as far as competitors. That in itself was exciting. So I said to Kurt, I mean, we were received very well. We should keep going, and he agreed. It's something that we wanted to kind of not legitimize ourselves, but, you know, say, okay, we're here to stay, and this is what the type of show we're going to put on, and this is the level that we're going to do it at. It's going to continue at the same level. Maybe a little less bouts.
Yeah.
We went a little nuts this time.
people here, obviously UFC is the most well-respected and the best organization as far as this goes. Then people, I think, have got Strikeforce, Bellator. You could probably throw out two or three more of the people that are AAA, AA, whatever you want to call them, on the up-and-comers. Where do you think, after a couple, if this is received as well as you think it'll be received, where do you think RFA fits into that?
I think that we're definitely in the competitive in the market, for sure. I think that we'll be right up there. After, I mean, we're not going to be obviously UFC level, but right. We'll be up there with the Bellators and the Strike Forces, for sure. Yeah.
Well, the card's better than Bellator's, is it not?
I'm not really familiar with their cards, you know. I don't really, not to be rude or anything, I don't pay much attention to it. But I know that we have some up-and-comers that are just, Bubba Jenkins, we have just some really phenomenal fighters that are gonna really put their mark on the niche in the market. They're just, and once they're exposed to a place like here, that where people know a good fighter when they see him, I think it's gonna.
How many fights do these guys want to have? I mean, if you're an up and comer, how many times do I want to get in the octagon? Is it a every other month deal? Is it three times a year?
I mean, most fighters would probably like to get in there 3-4 times a year. Yeah. And then, you know, you have some guys, if you're on a roll, obviously you want to keep it going. I don't think anyone would want to get in more than 5 times in a year.
Wayne Harriman's joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, promoter for RFA2, which is this Friday night at the Viero Events Center. Bouts begin at 5 o'clock with the amateurs. The pros go at 7 o'clock. As we said, the main event, Gilbert Ivel, is back, and he'll take on Houston Alexander of Omaha. I don't know. I might ask every competitor or everybody that we've had on about this. Are you even amazed at the amount of people that are taking up this sport? We've got TJ Hepburn coming right out of winning a National Division II Wrestling Championship, who's already had a couple of amateur fights, and it seems like that's what's going. You got to start somewhere. Are you amazed with all of these organizations, all of these people that have tried their hand at this, and the number that actually are a little successful?
It's phenomenal. It was funny because I started in this business in like 2000, maybe a little bit before that. And I was involved with an organization called the World Fighting Alliance, and it was almost impossible to sell tickets. We got sanctioned around the same time the UFC got sanctioned in Nevada, and you know, trying to get it, people, you know, used to it, it was tough. A good example would be, back then there was maybe, I don't know, a handful of gyms in the whole United States. Now they're on every corner. There's gyms everywhere. Everyone wants to be a fighter. The talent level is unbelievable. The difference between back then and now is every fighter is a hybrid now. I mean, these guys are just, even the lowest level is phenomenal. Oh. Like, back in the day, you had your kickboxers, you had your wrestlers, you know, no one was really crossing over too much. Now, every fighter is versed in everything. They're kickboxing, wrestling. They're, you know, they have it all.
That's probably the thing that
you
actually.
Be.
Well, you better be for one, or you're going to get your ass kicked.
Let me ask you a question that shows my novice to the whole sport here, my amateurism, because this is about how much poker took off when Rounders came out as the movie. Did RFA UFC take off when Fight Club came out? I mean, is that a fair comparison? Did that have anything to do with this at all?
No. No, Fight Club came out a little bit before that. I think we kind of we used a couple clips from, in a few of our commercials from it. It was, you know, I guess I don't think it had anything to do with it, but it was accepted. You know, everyone liked the movie, so. Obviously, people like to see people get punched in the face.
You know, every other day on the show, I like to see people get punched in the face.
We kind of, I don't know if you would use that as a barometer, but it you know.
The thing that I took from, you know, even just started watching a little bit before RFA1, actually the pay-per-views and the bigger events, and then going to RFA1, like you said, everybody's so well-versed. The different disciplines. A boxer just gets in there. If you just do one discipline, you're not gonna have success in this sport. I mean, you got people that are black belts in karate. Well, now I'm on jiu-jitsu. Now I'm practicing wrestling with a guy. I've got a stand up boxing coach. I mean, these guys working out. For instance, you're pretty close with Frank Mir. How many when he's getting ready for a fight? How many hours a day does Frank Mir work out?
Oh, at least 7, 8. At least.
It's a job.
Yeah.
It's a job. You're going to work. Probably that's what more. You do all day.
You, they'll wake a common day for a fighter would be they'll wake up, they'll do strength and conditioning, they'll maybe take an hour break, they'll go wrestle, maybe take a 30-minute break, they'll do some kickboxing, hit some pads, take a break, go back, do some wrestling, and then jiu-jitsu, and, you know, it just goes on throughout the day.
Wayne, before we, as we're running down to our last minute here, anything else that you want the fans to know? Because as we know, there's still tickets available. It's going on Friday night. There's 19 bouts. There's a lot of great bouts out there. We've talked about a couple of the headliners. What else do you want to let the fans know as we get ready for Friday night's fights?
We wanted to try to turn this night into an event, like something where, you know, just keep everybody out there partying, turn it into just a good time. We have a DJ from Las Vegas, a well-known DJ. Coming out to help out with the crowd, and I just think it's going to be, I want it to be a night that everybody's talking about for a while, hopefully up till the next event.
Just between 5 o'clock and the last fight, by the way, people, just while the fights are going on.
We want to turn it into something to be remembered. We would like to make this our home. We are doing a good job. We're bringing out the best talent we possibly can.
Sure Dog's coming.
Yeah. We're streamed live over Sure Dog, which is kind of a big deal in the mixed martial arts world.
It's the number one MMA site on the planet. Yeah. So that's a big deal. Wayne, my last question for you is: one of the boys from right down the road at UNK, Dakota Cochran, is very well known. You're bringing him back the second time. He was on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, just obviously, about got in, too.
Just man. About got in. Did not make the house. A lot of controversy when he was going in there. If you listen to Inside MMA, if you listen to any of the shows, Dakota Cochran's name was all over. You're bringing him back here. Obviously, you're not worried about his past, and that doesn't concern you in the least.
Zero. No, none. He's a good fighter. He's he's dedicated to the sport. You know, you could ask a lot of people if you I thought personally he won the fight, but
so did some other people. Yeah. It sounded like
I think the kid's a great fighter. He's got a good personality. Obviously he's got a fan base. People love to watch him fight, and we'd love to help him with his career and boost him up.
He's the next to last to go. He'll take on Cliff Wright at 155, and should be a great night. Looking forward to it. Friday night, RFA2, Folks Bureau Event Center. Get your tickets today at the box office. Daddy, we're going to continue on with more RFA tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, as we roll right along to the main event.
I think, Sean, do you want to jump in and say anything?
I'm good. I'm glad I got the support here. I'm Carney, looking forward to having events here. Every 3 months.
Now, you've met a lot of these guys. Are any of them normal?
No.
Some of the folks we were talking about before the show, also not normal, so I don't know what is going on. Hey, we're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Guys, thanks for coming in. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Spring is finally here. 1-800-Flowers.com has beautiful flowers, perfect for celebrating any spring occasion, birthdays. How about Easter? Or how about just that spring's here? 1-800-Flowers.com is now offering the 30 Spring Tulip Bouquet, a full, vibrant bouquet of 30 tulips reflecting the colors of spring. Brightens up any room. And it's perfect timing to order this beautiful multicolored tulip bouquet for somebody you care about today. Because 1-800-Flowers.com is giving my listeners a special offer only for a limited time. Order the 30 Spring Tulip Bouquet for only $30. That's $15 off the regular price. As always, it comes with a 1-800-Flowers.com 100% smile guarantee. To get this 30 for $30 offer on spring tulips, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio mic upper right corner, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com and enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name. Spring is finally here. Couldn't be any sooner.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. It's the beginning of a new era in St. Louis as the Cardinals start the defense of their title on opening night.
Greg's got home, and the Cardinals are World Series champions.
It begins in Miami against Jose Reyes and the Marlins.
Jose Reyes!
Cardinals, Marlins open the Major League Baseball season Wednesday, April 4th on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
If you don't know how many Rewards Club points you have in the ESPN Superstation Hy-Vee Rewards Club,
I wouldn't brag about it.
And you might want to check, because you can redeem 3,500 points and get a pair of tickets to this Friday's MMA fight at the Viero Event Center.
Apprehensive? We all are at first.
For free.
Frankly, I'm confused.
3,500 points will do it. Just log in as a Central Nebraska ESPN Radio Superstation Hy-Vee Listener Club member and go to the points store.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area today as we warm into the mid-70s with winds out of the west 12 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear as we cool back to a low of 40, west winds at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 63.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Busy day here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of studio in-guest folks, but while we're keeping busy, and we know you're busy, don't forget to grab a little lunch at the Chicken Coop. Kearney in Grand Island, catch all your favorite sports on TV at the Chicken Coop. You can talk about what's going on in basketball, golf with Tiger and the Masters coming up. Don't forget, everything is on, and if it's not, they'll get it on for you at the Chicken Coop in Kearney in Grand Island. And every Tuesday night, it's Wing Basket Night. Get a basket of 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice from over a dozen wing flavors for only $5. Get them however you want, whatever flavor you want. They're there for you. A little zing, a little hot, maybe sweet. It's Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, it is Wing Basket Night at the Chicken Coop. Of course, Wednesday's Big Burger Night. It's all there for you at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island.
Douglas, people are getting excited for the Masters just a week away. Darren Revelle tweeting this morning that the 128-page program is out. There's four pages of ads. All four. IBM ads. That's all there is. 128 pages, four pages of ads. Also, they're selling the 1959, the green jacket from the Masters. Bidding on it this morning.
Who won that? Whose jacket was it?
Jeff will effort that. Jeff will effort that. 1959 Masters, but it was $33,000 at last check. So there's a little interesting Masters talk.
Effort it on that computer, Chad. Jeff, get out of my way.
Poor Jeff. He's taking a beating today.
Oh, it's just brutal. It's brutal. It's brutal. It's brutal. But, yeah, the Masters coming up. We've got coverage of the Masters right here on ESPN Radio starting next Thursday. So there you go. By the way, a few of the former Storm players, I was talking to Skip Barry of Who Made the Frozen Four, and as usual, there's some upsets in there, but Ferris State making their first ever trip to the Frozen Four, and there are a few Simone Denis was on that. He was the name I recognized. I'm going to be honest. There were some names I didn't recognize even after having been here with the Tri-City Storm. But Ferris State plays Union of New York, and then Boston College plays Minnesota. So you're going to have one of the big boys taking on one of the and Union of New York was one of the top four seeds going in. So anyway, Ferris State and Union, Minnesota and Boston College, they play in the Frozen Four Thursday, April the 5th. So they take quite a bit of time off between the first two rounds and the last two rounds.
For the casual hockey fan, that'd be the VCU and Butler going at it, and the other two Giants meeting up on the other side. So, although Union College in New York, that didn't know they were in top four seeds.
Didn't know there was. I mean, it's,
didn't know there was Union College in New York.
Anything's possible, UNO. You go for it, you hockey dynasty of the Mavericks.
Best of luck with that, guys.
Oh, folks, it's that time of year when they're getting ready at the Prairie Hills chapter of Pheasants Forever. So much going on with the banquet coming up. They do the youth mentor hunts every winter, and we're ready to talk a little bit about that today on the Doug and Daddy Show. As I said, Daddy, we got a little bit of everything.
Well, they kicked Chuck Dummer out, guys. How are you?
Well, we brought the president in. We never had the president. Chad Peterson's in. Chad, what's going on?
Doing well. No, Chuck was our longtime PR guy, and he did a great job for us. And he just said it's time to step down. So.
Well, he had to get rid of one of the 19 committees he was on, I think.
Oh, exactly.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Guys, the event seems to get bigger and bigger each year. Is that the case again this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should be pushing close to 325 through the door. Great meal, of course, always by Diane Kucharin Country Catering. If you've ever been there, you've seen the two slabbed out hogs sitting on the table, and you get to pull it right off the bone. So,
well, let's start with all the specifics: when, where, times, because we want to start and end with that, and ticket information. So, give the basics out to the folks listening.
Yeah, this weekend, Saturday night at March 31st, to be at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds down at the Ag Pavilion. We'll open the doors about 5:30-ish, kick it off with games and raffles, meal to follow therein at 7 o'clock, and auction at 8. So if you're out in the yard and can't quite make the meal, but come on into the auction at 7:30, 8 o'clock, no problem.
Always got the raffles and the games going on, and they still got the mugs of beer.
Oh, yeah, we got that.
Well, so there's
a plus. Some free mugs of beer.
So you get RFA, then you move on to Pheasants Forever. It's a pretty good weekend. We'll just fill it up for you.
Well, yeah, you're going to be. I've got it all marked off. There's not much else going on in town this weekend. Maybe you can catch some Loper baseball or Hastings sports in the afternoon on Saturday just to kind of relax and get a little nap in.
There you go. Guys, obviously, you got big auction items, or we got the silent auction going on and the auction.
Yeah, both.
Any guns?
Oh, we got about 15 guns this year we'll be giving away and or auctioning off. Yeah, some the Terry Redland print. There's some other up-and-newcomers there that we've got. There's some Neil Andersons. We got bags of seed corn. This year we've got another great item that we've never had before, and that's some custom application for going out and spraying some beans or corn or something like that.
One thing about Pheasants Forever organization is you guys always, the drill was a big deal one year. Putting in the cover was, every year there's something else, another project. Is there one project in particular you guys want to hit on today, or there's several things going on?
Well, we're always doing projects, not just usually just one project, but okay. A lot of the things, one of the bigger things we're working on right now is there's a general CRP sign-up going on right now for landowners. So it's for landowners who want to take marginal cropland out of production, and they can get paid to do that. So some of the things we're working on right now, another big program in Buffalo County anyway, is Corners for Wildlife. And what that does is it pays landowners to take their pivot corners out of production. It's a 5-year contract, can pay up to as much as $100 an acre. So we've got some of those going in as well, some of the two main things. And then, as always, we do, the local chapter here does help finance the open fields and water program. So we help open up over 800 acres just here in Buffalo County for public access for folks to go hunt and fish.
True, how is the numbers in the local chapter? Are we continuing to grow?
As far as people, or are you talking pheasants here?
No, I'm talking people. I'm talking folks that go out and help you with all the projects and help with the banquet, and or have we kind of just kept the mainstay right
well,
now?
Well, this is a volunteer organization, and you mentioned earlier, volunteers come and go, and they're fantastic. I mean, our guys like Chad are just fantastic people that donate this time to be here today and everything else. So we're always looking. There's not a chapter in the entire country that's not looking for more help. So if you got a passion for not just hunting, just conservation in general, man, we're open arms to anybody who wants to come help out.
All right, now I want to know about the numbers of birds.
Okay.
I'll follow that up because that's the one thing it seems like.
Sure.
We got a lot of turkeys. I mean, that
we do.
You drive down the road, you see turkeys. You don't drive down the roads and see pheasants like you used to.
Yep.
Or back when I was a kid, as Grandpa says.
It's a great example about how the landscape has changed over time. You know, pheasants and quail specifically are what we call early successional habitat bird. They need grasslands. They need shrubs, those kind of things. Well, without management to those kind of areas that are grasslands and shrubs, well, over time, those areas become mature timber and trees. And that's what turkeys like.
Right.
So over time, when we don't do manage area, it kind of held steady. You know, I would say at best held steady over the last probably 5 years. But you get in other areas of the state, you get south of here, south central, southwestern, and the bird numbers are fantastic right now. Western Nebraska.
I mean, you look at the weather we've been getting; they're just getting ready to nest right now. Could be a huge, huge spring for pheasants, which we haven't had lately.
It could weather-wise, we've knocked it out of the park so far because we had a really nice winter, you know, mild winter, which gets those birds through those winters. And then if we, you know, get through a nice, good spring here without any nasty weather, we'll be setting really good for next year.
Talking with Drew Larson, Chad Peterson of the Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever. Their 15th annual banquet is coming up on Saturday night at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. And they have done over 900 habitat projects since this organization began. And, of course, that takes money. That's why we have the banquet. Yeah, we have the banquet to have fun and get together every year. But, Chad, we do want to raise money. And as in the past, there are different levels. There's things for kids. Kind of explain that to the folks.
The different levels of sponsorship?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We've got sponsorships level ranging anywhere from $500 on down. You know, we've got some corporate sponsors out there. And when you guys come to the banquet and you look inside of our banquet program and you see all these local sponsors, please grace their doors with your presence, because if not for them, we can't have our chapter.
And it is a big banquet. It gets bigger and better every year. Now, for the folks that want to go to the banquet and join the organization, and again, I know Chuck was always big on talking about what the kids could do. It's a family atmosphere, and we talk about that with the Mentor Hunt and so many other things, but kind of address for the folks that maybe just moved into the area and not familiar with what this organization does.
Yeah, the that night, you know, you can get tickets right there at the door. We got plenty of tickets for coming in the door, so you don't need to call ahead and reserve any tickets. If you know you're bringing the family, we're gonna have for the kids that are there, we got special drawings just for them. We got a few donations that are given out that we then draw for the kids. There'll be a youth model 870 that we auction off just for the kids. Those proceeds go straight for our youth mentor hunt, because that is one of our big money draws that we pull from our organization to put on our youth mentor hunt every year. And we'll have halftime or lifetime hunting permits as well. Now, the kids that were just at the youth mentor hunt last year that participated in that, those kids that show up to the banquet, if there's five kids that show up from that youth mentor hunt from last year, then there's only five, and one of those five will then get a lifetime hunt permit.
That'd be a 20% chance if you're from O'Neill.
Drew, what are some of the other, do we have any new things that are going on this year? We talked about a couple of the new items that might have been on the auction. Is there anything else new that folks that come year after year need to know about?
I wouldn't say there's anything real new that's going on that I can think of as far as the banquet goes. You know, as far from a habitat standpoint, which is what I concentrate on mostly, the general CRP sign-up's going on. We now have, Pheasants Forever now has 10 farm bill biologists spread throughout the state. It's one thing we learned over a long period of time that, you know, we work with volunteers and they spend a lot of time putting on the banquet and doing youth mentor hunts, but, you know, they didn't have the extra time to go work with landowners one-on-one to help them decide what was best for their property. So in the last probably 5 or 6 years, we've hired now 10 farm bill wildlife biologists, and these are folks that full-time employees of Pheasants Forever. They sit in USDA offices to work with landowners one-on-one. So they can be kind of we call them the one-stop shop, because they know federal, state, and local programs.
We have talked with a variety of the organizations, Gene with the Turkey Association, the Ducks Unlimited, the Pheasants Forever, and on and on and on. I don't know if this affects you guys at all. He talks about how sometimes you work together, sometimes you have your own projects, but the Game and Parks Commission gets a new commissioner this year. How does that affect your organizations and organizations like this at all, or does it affect you guys?
It could affect us. The new commissioner is Jim Douglas, I believe. I think it was announced last week.
Yeah.
So, and Jim's been a good friend of Pheasants Forever for a long time, and I think he understands the value of partnerships because, you know, all the organizations you mentioned, we work together all the time on things. And in this day and age, you have to. I mean, if you're not working together and combining those resources, it's hard to get things done. So I think Jim understands that, and I see a good relationship continuing with Jim at the helm, so that's good.
Well, you look at all the things, like you said, the pivot corners, you know, that are on the backside of a pivot that are sloping off. That's tough to plant on anyway. Get out of that, guys. Contact your Pheasants Forever. They'll come out. You guys will plant the stuff and get the habitat going right for them.
I'm amazed. We can actually show, in some cases, where your property butts up against, like, a shelter belt, where you don't get the production on the shelter belt. Your input costs are the exact same, you know, with fertilizer and everything else next to that shelter belt. We can actually show landowners you can make more money by enrolling into a buffer program as opposed to trying to farm that, you know, that edge that doesn't produce for you. Or there are small areas with equipment getting bigger. There's all kinds of things out there we have that we think we can help landowners with. It's just a matter of contacting us, and we can come out and take a look and see what we can do.
And now with the RFA, we just had the guys coming in here. Is there any thoughts that the last gun will just be kind of a free-for-all out there at the Pheasants Forever banquet? Strongest man gets the last gun.
Well, you never know. It all depends. It depends on what's left on the docket.
Turn that into a fundraiser or something. That could be, for sure.
RFA, guns, pheasants, we got it all for you here. Chad, before we let you guys get out of here, anything else that you want to let the folks know about?
Yeah, anybody that has some land that they want to do maybe some upgrades in, we do have a drill that's for rent. They can go to the NebraskaPF.com website and I think just click on our county and it'll pull up our information. Another great thing is we're going to have some seed there for food plots and things like that. We'll hand out right to the landowners right that night, so that way they don't have to come hunt us down later. They can get it right there at the door.
Great. Well, folks, again, they just mentioned the state website, NebraskaPF.com. You can find out a whole lot more on Pheasants Forever there. But again, the big news and what we want to make sure you know about is that the annual banquet is this Saturday night. What time are we opening doors, guys? 5 o'clock. And so we'll get that going at 5. And there's always fun right away at 5 o'clock. So you get there, you get everything that you need for the night, and you're ready to go. Then the meal, the banquet, to the auction, it's all there at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds this Saturday night, the 15th annual Prairie Hills Pheasants Forever banquet. And always great food, great fun, great, great items. And Chad Peterson, Drew Larson, thanks for coming into the Doug and Daddy Show and sharing it with us. And hopefully things go well Saturday. And as always, anytime you want to be on and anytime we know what's going on with the funds, you guys always do a great job of letting people know what you're doing in the organization. Come on by anytime.
Good deal. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up, Robin Washit is going to join us here on the program from HuskerOnline.com. And don't forget all of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at Burger King. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Check out the BK Toppers and a whole lot more. It's yum, yum. I'm still in the breakfast. Two croissant sandwiches, $4. You know what? Started to clean the car out the other day. I found $4, and I didn't even get to the back seat yet.
Ooh.
Pretty crazy. Coming up, Robin Washit joins us after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, I'm Ryan Newman, driver of the number 39 Quicken Loan Chevy for Stuart Haas Racing. I've got a question for you. Want to be my boss? No, really, I'm serious. It can happen when you enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes. Win, and for one amazing race weekend, you'll be an honorary co-owner of the Stuart Haas race team. Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. You'll get to hang with me, my other boss, Tony Stewart, and the whole crew. Pretty cool, huh? Oh, and get this. If you win, you'll also walk away with $10,000. Got your attention there, didn't I? So come on, what are you waiting for? Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. That's QLRacing.com.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 4/30/12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLRacing.com. Sponsor Quicken Loans Incorporated. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
When I told my buddies I was picking Butler to make it to the Final Four, my friends just laughed. So tournament time came around, we all head down to Cunningham's Journal. As my wife might say, my home away from home, Cunningham's has what any bracketologist would want. Wireless internet to do your research, awesome food, a bajillion TVs, and the coldest beer in town. Anyways, there was Butler in the final seconds, nailing a buzzer beater, and guess who's laughing now? So fellow bracketologists, when it comes to tournament time, make Cunningham's Journal your home away from home in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area today as we warm into the mid-70s with winds out of the west 12 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear as we cool back to a low of 40, west winds at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 63.
Like we always do at this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Doug and Danny Show back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Still to come, we have got Troutman's Tuesday trivia on the Doug and Danny Show and a whole lot more. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Stan says, Doug, you wanted a big name for Nebraska's next basketball coach. Not true. Not true. That is not true. I said all along the guy that would be the next coach would be somebody you didn't know. I think Tim Miles qualifies for that, but now everybody knows Tim Miles because they made the NCAA tournament and he was talked about. Tim Miles is not a big name, but remember, was Bob Devaney or Danny Nee big names when they were hired at Nebraska? I did. Thanks, Stan, for the email. I did think of this morning, Daddy. You and I, mostly you, have complained about how you got how does Kevin Cosgrove keep getting jobs? Because he's got buddies that want to give his buddy a job. How does somebody that has one of the top defenses in Division II not go on to that next level or whatever the case may be? It's a got to know who you know people. Maybe that's the way we have to look at this Tim Miles hire. These guys are hopefully Bulldogs, workers, up-and-comers, and they're getting their shot. I would assume this is their shot because if you can turn this thing around, you can probably coach anywhere in the country.
Or, Doug, I'll maybe go at you this way. Maybe we didn't have options. Maybe Tim Miles was the only one that was...
Well, I will say this. That was a mistake. I said it from day one. I wanted a new coach hired the next day. I wanted a name 2 days after Doc Sadler was let go. It appears that there was nothing even close to that. So then you back yourself into a corner like Steve Peterson did when he hired Bill Callahan. He had nobody. He didn't have the guy. When you're going to get rid of somebody, you got to have the guy. All of a sudden you go, wow, well, we changed, but is there any difference?
Well, Doug, they weren't going to be able to hire John Gross and then say, well, I know you got your conference tournament. I know you just came out of it and you're going to the NCAA tournament. You can't be the coach the next day.
There had to be some interest gauged. There had to be somebody somewhere say, hey, would Coach Gross at least be interested? If so,
maybe,
we'll wait.
Well, maybe he
and
was.
And if not, somebody's not doing their job. And then you're getting into some bad things at the University of Nebraska Athletic Department. If you didn't at least inquire, then you're not doing your job.
Robin Wushett from Husker Online joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Robin, how are you this morning?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, great to catch up with you, Robin. Thanks for giving us some time here on Doug and Daddy. And I guess since yesterday, we've expanded the coaching role with a couple of more assistants here. But first, your thoughts on Tim Miles and your reaction from the press conference on Saturday with our first real look at the new coach.
Yeah, I think like most people, you know, it was kind of, you know, a little left to be desired, you know, when you first heard the news that he was the guy. And I think a lot of that is just because a lot of people just don't know much about him. But, you know, you talk to people that are kind of in the know, so to speak, in basketball circles, and he's got nothing but praise from pretty much everyone that, you know, I've talked to about it, and, you know, it's seen written, you know, around the country. National guys really like him. And I think what he's done is it's been his work ethic. Everywhere he's gone, that's kind of separated himself from a lot of other coaches. You know, you talk to high school coaches, you know, around the region, and the one thing that they'll say about him is that he's a tireless worker. He and his staff worked as hard as anyone that they came in contact with on the recruiting trail, and the guy knows what it takes to turn programs around because he's done it everywhere he goes. And I think that was kind of the big selling point for why Tom Osborne thought that he was the guy.
Robin, did we have other options, or did we, like Doug said, back ourselves into a corner with Tim Miles?
Yeah, I know that for a fact they, you know, reached out to a lot of different coaches, you know, whether it be Ben Howland or John Grosch. I mean, and, you know, by reach out, I think they were just gauging interest. And, you know, I think that what they found was, you know, those other guys were either happy where they were or, you know, thought they had better opportunities on the horizon. So I think it was kind of a process of elimination. You know, they just wanted to see kind of test the waters, so to speak, of kind of what guys were thinking and, you know, gauging their interest on the job. And, you know, based on kind of the response they got from that, they just kind of moved down the list. But I do know that Miles' name has been up there for quite a bit during that recruiting process, or the coaching recruiting process. So he's not a guy that they just kind of, you know, desperately, you know, picked out of a hat. He was a guy that they've known about, and, you know, like I said, his name might not be big to the average fan, but in basketball circles, you know, he's a relatively strong candidate.
Robin Walsh of HuskerOnline.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about Nebraska's new basketball hire. How much more attractive does it become now that Ron Coleman comes on board with him as of last night?
Yeah, that's huge. You know, I think that was kind of one of the biggest selling points for bringing Miles here was the fact that he knows the importance of how a strong staff what that can do for a program, especially, you know, in these first couple years of establishing recruiting ties. And Ron Coleman is about as good as it gets, you know, in terms of that Chicago connection with his days as a prep and AAU coach out there. You know, he's worked with, you know, some of the best talent to come out of Chicago in, you know, the last 10 years or so when he was out there. So, I mean, that you can't ask for a guy with a bigger footprint in that recruiting hotbed than Ron Coleman. I mean, when he was coaching in AAU, he coached Dwayne Wade's AAU team. You know, and he's the team that he coaches there has at least, I think, the top three prospects in Chicago playing on it. So the ties there are as good as anybody's right now, and I think that bringing him on staff gives an instant boost to Nebraska's recruiting presence.
Can they appeal I would say the lowly basketball program, can they pull one of those top kids? I mean, obviously that's the hope, but in your mind, are they good enough to do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, right now it might be tough to sell, but you know, as soon as the staff gets a little more established and, you know, they can kind of do a little bit more work together and, you know, kind of have more chance to show what Nebraska has to, you know, some of those top talents in those areas, then, you know, you got to think that eventually that, you know, that they'll become a more attractive destination to those guys. And, you know, like I said, with a guy like Coleman and also Jaden Olson, who was the director of operations out of Colorado State, too, he's also known as a pretty pretty connected guy. You know, I think it's only a matter of time. And, you know, obviously winning will help everything in that regard. So, you know, whether or not they're going to come in and instantly start competing for, you know, those top 100 players, I don't know if that's going to, you know, just be an immediate thing. But, you know, I think over time Nebraska could eventually get there as long as they, you know, continue to work and use those connections and obviously have success on the court.
We've talked with a variety of different folks on the program, and you know them all, I'm sure. We've talked to Brian Rosenthal. We've talked to Andy Markowski. We've talked to Sip. We've talked to everybody that covers basketball for the most part for the Huskers. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the team that Tim Miles will take over. I thought it would be maybe the worst team Nebraska's had coming back since I can ever remember. I've had a couple people say that first team that Doc Sadler took over was really poor. What are your thoughts, Robin, on what Tim Miles even has to work with? Because the cupboard looks really, really bare.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, say what you want about that first team Sadler had, but he had a guy named Alex March in the center that made up for a lot of holes in their roster. And Nebraska this year, that definitely does not have that caliber of player. I mean, when you talk about a guy like Dylan Talley, who essentially came off the bench for the majority of the season and, you know, was still showing that, or trying to show that he can play through those lingering thigh injuries. And then you got Brandon Ubell, who is your most experienced player. And, you know, while I thought he did play well last year, you know, I don't think that he's anything that you can really build a program around. And, you know, the three freshmen hardly even saw the court. So they're coming in about as inexperienced as a true freshman would be, you know, in terms of game experience. So, I mean, they lost four senior starters. So, I mean, you got to wonder. And then you also have to add in, you know, they might be losing potentially three of their centers in Christopher Niemann, Jorge Brian Diaz, and Andre Almeida, you know, depending on what their futures hold. I know all of them are battling injuries that have pretty much plagued them throughout their career, so there are a lot of question marks and a lot of concerns regarding the roster this season. I think that's one of the reasons why Tim Miles was quick to say that he was definitely not done recruiting this year. I think they're going to look around, and he mentioned a Division I transfer a couple times when asking about kind of the guys he was going to go after. You know, he wants a guy that is experienced to contribute right away, so I think that's definitely still on the radar. You know, to try and bring over a guy kind of like similar to what Iowa State was able to do, you know, whether or not they can play this year or even next year. I think that that's definitely a route that he wouldn't be opposed to. I know he doesn't want to go the JUCO route at all. I think that's worst case scenario if they go JUCO again. So, you know, I think that if the fans are probably going to have to deal with a rough year next year, you know, just all things considered with the turnover of this roster. But, you know, I think that they're going to try and build for the following season, you know, whether it be a transfer or whether it just be, you know, basically hit the reset button and start over with a crop of new freshmen. So, yeah, next year could be tough.
Robin, do we know if he's contacted Coach Burns at Omaha Central?
Well, I know that he definitely has a relationship with them, okay. You know, from back when he was at Colorado State, since he was so well tied, and you know, he has a pretty good relationship with Akoya Gao too, because he recruited him, has been recruiting him when he was back at Colorado State. So they definitely know of him. Last time we talked to Gao, he said he had not officially spoke with Miles yet, but you know, I know today he's going down to Kansas City to meet with Siobhan Shields and Benny Parker, to kind of talk to them and kind of see what you know, the deal is with them, and just get to know them a little bit better. And you know, I'm sure he'll make the regional rounds here pretty soon. You know, he's only been on the job for about 3 days now, so gotta give him some time. But I know that's definitely on his priority. We've even asked him about it on Saturday, you know, if he's been in contact with them yet, and he made the joke by asking if his phone was ringing and reaching into his pocket. So I think that's definitely a priority for him. And obviously Akoya Gao is one of the best prospects come out of Nebraska, I think, in quite a long time. So I have no doubt that he's going to be a top priority for the staff.
Well, let's just, again, that's what these are talk shows are for, opinions. Robin Walsh at HuskerOnline.com. I brought it up yesterday. I said it at less than 5%. What would you say the percentage is that Akoya Gao ever puts on a Nebraska basketball uniform?
I'll tell you what, I think it's higher than you might think. I know from talking with people that for a while there, until UConn kind of got a little more in the mix, Nebraska was his number one with Sadler. I think he really liked Doc and had some definite interest in playing for him. Now, what happens with this new staff, you know, I think it remains to be seen, but
you know, I think right now that the biggest team to beat, you know, is with, you know, he gets a UConn or a Kansas offer. I think those are the two most likely threats to keep Nebraska out of this. At the same time, you know, who knows what's going to happen at UConn, you know. I mean, they got some issues up there. Who knows if Jim Calhoun will even be there next season. So, you know, you got to take that into consideration. And I think if he gets a Kansas offer, I think that's going to be tough to beat. But, you know, I think he's a family-oriented guy, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he, you know, put a little more stock and wanting to stay close to home. And I know he definitely has interest in kind of being one of the guys that turns this thing around at Nebraska. So, I think the chances are better than a lot of people might think, but it's going to be up to the staff to really sell it to them and say that, hey, you know, Nebraska is the place to go over some of these big-time schools like Kansas and UConn.
We've got an email here, so I'll pass that along to you, Robin. He wants to know, can these kids from AAU programs make grades in the past that didn't make them, like when Robert Sally went and didn't get here? And is it a double-edged sword? I guess everybody wants this AAU connection. Has anything changed in the last 5 years about keeping these kids eligible?
Repeat that question again. I guess it's kind of
the email wants to know: can the kids from the AAU programs make grades where some of the kids haven't done it in the past? I guess it just depends on the kid, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it. You know, you got kids that, you know, go to private schools that are 4.0 students, and you got kids that you know, have a little bit more of a checkered past that you run a little bit more risk with. I agree. It basically just depends on the kid. I think there might be a stereotype out there that because a kid plays AAU basketball that he's just a dumb jock that has no intentions of ever going to class, and I think that's completely false. I think AAU is just an outlet that basically kids that want to play at the top level of basketball pretty much have to go through to get their names out there and to be seen by coaches. So, you know, I don't think that that will be an issue, you know, as long as Nebraska, you know, continues to recruit high-character kids and you know, kids that are focused on academics. I don't think that will be much of an issue.
All right, Robin, we'll let you out of here with this. Bo seems to be in a really good mood so far. What's going on down there?
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, if he's setting us up for something or what. But, yeah, he's been as pleasant as ever, and, you know, I'm sure part of it is that it's spring ball, so the pressure's down a little bit. But, you know, I think some of it might just go back to that whole approach he was talking about in that pre-spring press conference. You know, they just kind of just taken a whole different approach to just how he handles off-season meetings with players and, you know, just his wants to build relationships and create more of a family atmosphere within the locker room and, you know, increase trust. And I think it just all goes along with that. Maybe we're seeing the start of a new bow where, you know, he's, you know, letting his guard down a little bit. I mean, he opened a full practice up for the first time since, you know, I've covered Nebraska, or since he's been here. And there's also some talk that, you know, he might open up a scrimmage or two. Some little things like that, you know, are starting to make you wonder if, you know, Bo might be turning the corner a little bit. And I know for my sake, I welcome it with open arms.
Is it true he's got two kittens at his house, too?
Yeah. And he takes Facebook pictures with them all the time.
I just, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to ask him, is it just, you know, Carl's not here anymore? Is that why you're just, you know, there's no brotherly tension? You know, you got to find a way to jokingly say that. That's what I'm going with. Carl's gone, so, he's the number one Pelini in town now. Robin Washit from HuskerOnline.com. Robin, thanks so much for the time, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. We've got breaking news on the Doug and Danny Show and Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. It's all coming up here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Don't forget to get signed up for our ESPN Superstation Rewards Fan Club. You can pick up RFA tickets, free RFA tickets. You sign up, you get 500 points, 100 points when you're on mobile rewards. You get extra points for taking the poll question and doing a variety of things, and it's all at your leisure. How far will Tim Miles lead Nebraska into postseason play? That's your vote. NCAA, win one, just make it the NIT, or never will get there. Also, yesterday, who do you think is going to win the national title? 59% Kentucky, 24% Ohio State. Log on, vote today at our ESPN Rewards Club. Back with more after this.
Hi, it's The Herd. Have you noticed how many business people are free agents these days? This country was created by people striking out on their own. And we're seeing even more entrepreneurs today. Maybe you're one. Well, for this economy, a Regis virtual office makes more sense than ever. A Regis virtual office is perfect for those home offices or expanding businesses that need a more professional image with clients. You get a prestigious business address to call your own, an on-site receptionist for unlimited call answering, and access to meeting rooms and use of a private office. So, hey, free agent, you want to get all the amenities of a full-time office without the expense of one? That's a good call. A call to Regis. Call Regis, the new way to work. Regis makes setting up your virtual office easy. You let them know I sent you, and you'll get 2 months free. Go to Regis.com/Cowherd now. That's R-E-G-U-S, or call 1-800-OFFICES. That's 1-800-OFFICES.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Let the madness begin.
Deron Lamb, right corner for three. Got it! Two huge threes for Deron Lamb, and Kentucky leads by five, 69-64.
The 2012 NCAA tournament is on the Westwood One Dial Global Radio Network. From the first round to the Final Four, all the action is right here.
Catch every game on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area today as we warm into the mid-70s with winds out of the west, 12 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear as we cool back to a low of 40, west winds at 5 to 15.
Right now, it's 63.
Back on the Doug and Patty Show, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Folks, don't forget, if you need an oil change, if you need the quick lube, if you need to get things taken care of, Mopar Quick Lube is there for you at the Midway Auto Dealership. Midway, located on South 2nd Avenue, either one of their dealerships will take care of you. And the best thing about going in, you don't even need an appointment. It lasts about 30 minutes or less. In, out. And if you just want to stay there and relax, maybe look over a newer pre-owned vehicle to replace the one that you're getting worked on. They'll do that for you because you're in and out in 30 minutes. They've got the cappuccino. They've got the lounge. They've got places you can work with free wireless internet. So while your vehicle's getting worked on, you can work right there on your laptop as well. It's all at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Daddy, tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock Central Time. This is the breaking news, by the way. I know you are busy tomorrow afternoon, but you're going to have to take your break at around 3 o'clock because for the second consecutive year, NCAA.com will host the NCAA Bowling Championship Selection Show. Oh. 8 teams will be selected to the championships held in where else? Cleveland, Ohio. The Nebraska women's team is hoping for an invitation to its 9th straight championship. The Huskers have won the NCAA Bowling Championship a few times since its inception in 2004. They won it in 2009. They've done very well. They come off a win in the Music City Classic. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday trip. Are you excited? 3 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm fired up. 3 o'clock tomorrow. All right. Without knowing teams, the teams that I'm going to put these teams in my bracket. I'm going to write them down right here. I got Arkansas State.
Okay.
I got Farley Dickinson.
Call now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you've got a chance at a $25 gift card to Troutman's, 888-455-3776. Who else you got?
I got Maryland Eastern Shore. I've got your Lady Huskers. I've got Vanderbilt. I've got...
One, wow. Two. That's it. You got five of them wrote down?
I got five of them wrote down.
You wrote down Maryland Eastern Shore?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. You got Farley Dickinson down. Central Missouri. I don't know if they'll get in or not, but they were in the last tournament. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines and do some Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Jason,
do you want Nebraska women's bowling or NCAA tournament?
NCAA tournament.
This... Of all the Big Ten men's basketball teams, which school has made the most appearances in the Final Four?
Indiana.
It is not Indiana, shockingly enough. Try back, 888-455-ESPN. Did I move off the page? 888-455-ESPN-3776. Let's go to the phone line. Who are we chatting with?
It's Bob.
Bob, do you want Nebraska women's bowling or the NCAA men's basketball tournament?
That's my choices,
right? Yeah, you get to pick one of those two, and then I have to ask you a question.
Would you like fifth grade math or linear algebra?
Let's do the basketball.
All right, let's do the basketball. All right, here is our next question. This, I had two and I can't find the other one. My God. This, the most points ever scored in an NCAA tournament men's basketball game, 61, by Austin Carr of which university? And the university did play. I'll even give you more of a hint. This university was ousted in the first round of the NCAA tournament this year. Where did Austin Carr go to school? He scored 61 points.
I think it was Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct. Notre Dame is correct. Bob is the winner. I gave him way too many hints there. He scored 61 against the Ohio Bobcats in 1970. Austin Carsey, you can't give easy questions to old people like Bob. You probably watched that or listened to it on his transistor radio. Bob, congratulations. Hang on. We got a $25 gift card coming your way. By the way, Ohio State has made it to the Final Four more than any other Big Ten team. Daddy, I was going to ask you, the women's question I thought would probably be pretty easy. Since 2004, how many NCAA bowling championships has Nebraska won?
Two.
Three.
Ooh.
So you're wrong. There you go.
I guess Michigan State. I'm just with success Tom Izzo and Coach Judd Heathcote before him. I thought Michigan State, but not the case.
A couple Ohio. More things I want to throw out to you, Daddy, before we get out of here. It's got to be over for Pat Summitt, doesn't it? I watched a lot of that basketball game last night. She's not coaching. She's not doing interviews. I mean, maybe they can hold on. You don't come back from dementia and Alzheimer's, and it's just a sad way to go out, and you don't want to just be kind of sitting there on the bench as a shell of yourself. And it unfortunately, that's what this terrible disease does. I think that's it for Pat Summitt.
1,089 or 98.
See, yeah, you have dyslexia.
It's, you know, it's an amazing. You know, look at the records in the 112 NCAA tournament games or something. I mean, just ridiculous records that will never be touched. I got to think by man or what. I mean, it's amazing what she's able to do. But you're right. It's sad right now to see her when you used to remember this vibrant, fiery lady that influenced so many kids' lives and did such a wonderful job, and it's just, yeah, it's just sad.
Did people used to have that? I don't remember grandparents. You know, they got old and crazy. That's what they always said, you know. But now it's got a name. It's called dementia, and all of a sudden you're hearing football players because of all the knocks to the head. It's not like Pat Summitt took a lot of knocks to the head that
right.
We know of. I mean, just a bad deal. But Baylor beat them last night, pulled away 77-58. Stanford beat Duke 81-69. Tonight, UConn plays Kentucky. I'm calling for a Kentucky win in that one. Notre Dame plays Maryland. All the 1 and 2 seeds.
I'm calling for about a 25-point remember, this is a Kentucky team they thought was a year away, two years ago when they knocked Nebraska out in Kelsey Griffin's senior year.
NIT tonight here on ESPN, Stanford versus Massachusetts, Washington versus Minnesota.
Here was going to be my question. CBI is going on. The finals of CBI, who's playing? Do you know that?
Yeah, Washington State beat Pittsburgh by one last night.
They had a shot at the buzzer. It was on HD net. I mean, it was like...
That's the one Creighton and Oregon played in last year. Daddy, some people are posting on message boards, which I rarely look at. Why didn't we wait for Frank Martin? If we'd have known Frank Martin was stepping down, would we have got him? I'll let you take it.
No, and I don't think... I don't think he'll see Tom Osborne and Frank Martin. I mean, that's just not a no.
And as we reported on this morning's sports, Amy Stevens has stepped down as the head women's basketball coach at Drake after 9 years. I think this is a Frank Martin deal. They want to go in different directions. Maybe it's the winningest program in the Missouri Valley Conference over her tenure there. They went 18-16. They're back in the WNIT. They've kind of... That's kind of been what's happening to them. They keep getting into that WNIT. Maybe they just haven't taken that next step. But, of course, she was here at UNK for 8 years, then an assistant at Nebraska for a year, then got the job at Drake. Always loved working with Amy Stevens and one of the greatest women's basketball players that ever played at the university. So there you go. And I think we've touched on enough to get on out of here for today. So let's wrap things up. And we want to thank Wayne Harriman, promoter for RFA2, for coming in with the boys today. Also, we want to thank Drew Larson, Chad Peterson from the Prairie Hills Chapter of Pheasants Forever. Their banquet coming up on Saturday night at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Robin Washit from Husker Online to talk about Nebraska basketball hire with Tim Miles and the assistants he's brought on so far, including Ron Coleman confirming that last night. Tomorrow on the show, Loper Lake, we'll talk about what's going on with UNK. And we're going to concentrate a little bit on the UNK golf program. They've had a little bit better time to practice than most. Also, Gilbert Ivell is our RFA. He is the main man coming in the main event with Houston Alexander. We will talk with him on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy show as well. Later on in the week, we hope to have Northwestern's baseball coach, Nebraska baseball tonight against Kansas State on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, and a lot more as RFA week continues.
Hey, we look forward to having you right back here. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska, the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.